Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Nam Namaste Narasimhaya. Prahlada Lada Dayini, Hiranyakashipu Bhakshah, Shilatam Kanakalaye, Itanushinga Bharato Nushinga, Yato yato yamitato nishinga, yato yato yamitato nishinga, bayir nishinga, yidaye nishinga, bayir nishinga, yidaye nishinga, nadashina madim saranam prapade, nadashina madim saranam prapade, Kavakara Kamala Bareina Kamadbhuta Shinga Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanubringham Keshavadita Narahari Rupa Jayo Jagadesha Hare Jaya Jagadesha Hare Jaya Jagadesha Hare Tavakara Kamala Bareina Kamadbhuta Shingam Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanubringham Keshavadita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadesha Hare Jaya Jagadesha Hare Jaya Jagadesha Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Radha Nilamadava Ki Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parvajak Jasta Tarasata Rishi Shri Shimadi Sitamayan Grace Shri Bhaktivinanta Goswami Maharaj Shri Guru Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Namacharya Sri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sukho Sukhish Chaitanya Pavini Sinanda Shri Vaitik Dada Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhaktivinanda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Samkunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavana Dham Ki Jai Mayapura Dham Ki Jai Jagannathpuri Dham Ki Jai Tulasi Devi ki jai bhakti devi ki jai ganga maya ki jai jamuna maya ki jai samaveda bhakta vrinda ki jai nitai gaur premanandi all glories to the assembled devotees all glories to the assembled devotees all glories to assembled all glories to shi guru and shi gauranga all glories to shila prabhupada ki jai namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namani Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivisesa Sunyavani Paskatya desatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Granth Raj Ki Jai Bolo Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Granth Raj Ki Jai. So the subject tonight, of tonight's lecture, or discussion, is faith. Faith. Without faith, we have no standing in Krishna consciousness or in God consciousness. So tonight we're going to discuss that. So we can look first at the 9th chapter, 3rd verse. Ashradadana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa apraptyamam nimartante mrtyasamsara vartamani. 9th chapter, 3rd verse says, those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, the faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purport of this verse. Faith is created by association with devotees. Unfortunate people, even after hearing all the evidence of Vedic literature from great personalities, still have no faith in God. They are hesitant and cannot stay fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, faith is a most important factor for progress in Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that faith is the complete conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. That is called real faith. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 4.31.14, Yata toror mula nisechanena tripyanti tatskanda pujopasakaha pranopaharach chayatendriyanam tataiva sarvarhanam achuteja. By giving water to the root of a tree, one satisfies its branches, twigs, and leaves, and by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all other living entities. Therefore, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. If one is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is faith. Now, the development of that faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. There are three divisions of Krishna conscious men and women. In the third class are those who have no faith. Even if they are officially engaged in devotional service, they cannot achieve the highest perfectional stage. Most probably they will slip after some time. They may become engaged, but because they haven't complete conviction and faith, it is very difficult for them to continue in Krishna consciousness. We have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive. And as soon as they are economically a little well situated, they give up this process and take to their old ways again. It is only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. As far as the development of faith is concerned, one who is well versed in the literatures of devotional service and has attained the stage of firm faith is called a first class person in Krishna consciousness. And in the second class are those who are not very advanced in understanding the devotional scriptures, but who automatically have firm faith that Krishna bhakti, or service to Krishna, is the best course, and so, in good faith, have taken it up. Thus, they are superior to the third class, who have neither perfect knowledge of the scriptures nor good faith, but by association and simplicity are trying to follow. The third class person in Krishna consciousness may fall down, but when one is in the second class, he does not fall down. And for the first class person in Krishna consciousness, there's no chance of falling down. One in the first class will surely make progress and achieve the result at the end. As far as a third class person in Krishna consciousness is concerned, although he has faith in the conviction that devotional service to Krishna is very good, he has not yet gained adequate knowledge of Krishna through the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes these third class persons in Krishna consciousness have some tendencies toward karma yoga and jnana yoga, and sometimes they are disturbed. But as soon as the infection of karma yoga or jnana yoga is vanquished, they become second class or first class persons in Krishna consciousness. Faith in Krishna is also divided into three stages and described in Srimad Bhagavatam. First class attachment, second class attachment, and third class attachment are also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in 11th canto. Those who have no faith, even after hearing about Krishna and the excellence of devotional service, who think that it is simply eulogy, find the path very difficult, even if they are supposedly engaged in devotional service. For them, there is very little hope of gaining perfection. Thus, faith is very important in the discharge of devotional service. So faith is something that's required in every endeavor that we undertake. It can be a trip, a new business venture, it can be marriage, it can be applying to a university for education, purchase of a car or a house, belief in God, etc. The faith that one has a chance of success always precedes the endeavor, and later one gets the knowledge that the endeavor was either a success, a failure, or a mixture of both. Okay, this child has to stop running. It can get hurt. Whose child is this? Yeah. One may assume that knowledge must precede faith. But the fact is that first one has faith and then knowledge follows as one has practical experience of the endeavor. Faith is defined as strong or unshakable belief in something, especially without proof or evidence. An example of faith preceding knowledge is the act of purchasing an airline ticket. At the point of purchase, one does not have knowledge that the plane will land safely at the destination. The purchase of the ticket is an act of faith that implies one trusts the airline, its pilots, and crew to safely navigate the airplane. Only when the airplane lands at the destination does one have knowledge that the plane did land safely, which validates his initial faith. Acquiring knowledge before developing faith is no guarantee of success. A friend of mine studied a certain company and its stock performance for 1 year. At the end of his exhaustive study, he was convinced that the company's stock was undervalued. He was also convinced that the company had excellent scope for growth and increase of market share in the near future. With these convictions, based on his studies and acquired knowledge of the company's past performance, its management, its competitors, and other relevant facts, he decided to purchase $2 million worth of stock in that company with the expectation that he would make a considerable profit in the next 6 to 12 months. But he was shocked to see that the company's stock tanked or went down only 2 weeks after he purchased it. Factors unbeknownst to him and beyond his control caused the stock to lose considerable value in a short period of time. In fact, he lost $1.5 million in 2 weeks. So in the example cited above, the faith and knowledge were both placed in and relative to material things, such as an airline ticket and a company's stock price. The outcomes of both were dependent on circumstances that were beyond the control of the individuals. My friend, who spent a year studying his particular stock, was convinced that there was very little risk buying the stock. He was confident and had faith he would succeed, but in the material world, trust no future, however bright. There are five causes for the accomplishment of any action. They are the place of the action, which is the body, the performer, that's the soul, the individual soul, the various senses, which are the instruments of action. Let's say, for example, you buy a car, a brand new, let's say, Lexus or Mercedes, but it doesn't have a steering wheel and doesn't have tires. Everything else is in perfect shape. Would you be able to drive it? No. So in the same way, the body cannot function properly unless it has eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and skin. These are five senses. So it's like buying a car without wheels or a battery. Everything else works, but you can't enjoy it. So the senses are instruments for accomplishing tasks and ultimately for enjoyment. And then so you have these five causes. You have first the place of action, which is the body, the performer, which is the individual soul, your soul or my soul, etc., the various senses, which are the instruments of action, and the many and different endeavors that one might undertake, and ultimately God himself, who is present as super soul, or the witness of everything we're doing, and he permits and oversees our actions. Just like the government, state government, federal government, permit and oversee our actions. Like, for example, when you drive a car, you're allowed to drive on county, city, county, state, and federal roads. And on those roads, there are many indications, like maximum speed indication, stop signs, red lights, stay to the right, 15% incline, slow down, and so forth. So if you follow, if you stay on the right-hand side of the road in the United States, and in India it's the left-hand side of the road, and you follow all the rules, you can go anywhere. But your going is directed by the government. They have built the roads in certain ways, roads, bridges, and so forth. So we're not independent. You can't drive on the left-hand side. You cannot ignore all the rules of driving. So in the same way, Krishna is directing our wanderings. He's directing our wanderings. We have limited free will. Just like when you drive your car, you have limited free will. You can't drive on the left-hand side. You can't go faster than the speed limit. You can't go through red lights. You can't go through stop signs. You can do it, but you'll get stopped and punished. The same way, we have limited free will, and we should learn what is permitted, what the purpose of this body is. The purpose of the body is to use it for self-realization. But most people are convinced that the purpose of the body is to use it for sense gratification, for self-indulgence. And that is not only an illusory concept, but it's completely wrong. And because of that, people get into trouble with the laws of karma. Just like when you don't follow the rules of driving, you get in trouble with the laws of the city, county, state, and federal government. So, the body that we get at birth is determined by the actions we performed in our previous life, which is our karma, and the unfulfilled desires we had at the point of death, which is our consciousness. So karma and consciousness determines the body that we get in the next birth. And that body has a certain fate, predetermined fate, based on the choices we made in our previous life. This is not arbitrary. Just like the state is not arbitrary when it says, if you go past the speed limit, you'll get a ticket. And if you go 15 miles above the speed limit, you get a ticket that costs so much. If you go 100 miles past the speed limit, you get a bigger ticket and a more serious consequences. So, in the same way, based on the choices we make, the consciousness we have, the actions that we perform, we are developing our fate in the next life, right now. So this is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, 8th verse, which says, one second, let me just find that. Chapter 8th verse. Sariram yad avapnoti yat chapi utkramat ishvara grihit vaitani samyati vayogandam ivasayat. This verse says, the living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another. That's consciousness. Those different conceptions. 15th chapter, 8th verse. As the air carries aromas, thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. So we are the, controller of this body, right? That's why it says there's five factors to every action. There's the body, the performer, that's us, the soul, the senses, the endeavor, and ultimately the super soul. Now, most people only consider the first four causes of action. Huh? You want to ask a question? Go ahead. Louder. Are we the knower of the body, or are we the controller of the body? We are a knower. There's two knowers of the body. And we are, we control with our limited free will, what we do with the body. We don't control it completely because we don't have complete free will. We have limited free will. So our limited free will is restricted to two choices. Either we follow Krishna's order or we ignore Krishna's order. That, to that degree, we are a controller. We're not the complete controller, right? So we have limited free will, therefore we are a limited controller. We either choose to use it, just like you can choose to use your knife to engage in Krishna's service, or you can choose to kill someone with it, right? Are you the complete controller? In that limited range of decision making, yes. But in the wider range, no. You can choose to kill someone, but they overpower you and kill you. So you're not the complete controller. But in a limited sense, you're the controller. And you are, and I am, all of us are, responsible for those decisions that we make. That's part of the consciousness that we have. Right? Now that consciousness, how is it developed? That's the important question. We're going to come to that in a second. So this verse, Sariram Yad Avapnoti Yachapi Kramitishwara Grihit Vaitani Samyati Vayogandam Ivasayat. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. So why is it so important to come to the class? It's to purify those conceptions that we have in the mind. Otherwise, we end up with the conceptions, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, I'm going to dominate, I'm going to become a millionaire, and when I become a millionaire, I'm going to do whatever I like, right? And if anybody tries to stop me, I'll just bribe my way out of it, because everyone has a price. You see? There are people like that. You know, and if I have to kill someone, I'll also kill someone. I don't care. I have so much money, I can bribe my way out of any situation. Yeah. So, who develops that consciousness? These are sick people that develop that consciousness. Right? And there's a lot of sick people nowadays. In fact, you have your cell phone? Okay. Look up... you probably have a difficult time finding it. Yeah. There's a guy who just got caught, right? I mean, so many people are getting caught every day, right? He had a social media webpage, right, for himself. And every day he was putting on it what he was doing. Now, this man was engaged in illegal activity. But he was getting away with it. So he got... It just shows you how stupid people are. He goes on his Twitter page, right, or his Facebook page, and he's downloading things. You know, he's uploading things. You know, what he ate that day. You know, and every day he's spending about $5,000. Every day, spending $5,000 every day, right? Now, how is he getting that money? It's all illegally, right? I won't say because it's too horrible to hear what he was doing, but it's all illegal. But he's so stupid, he's loading up every day, you know, the expensive champagne, the expensive food, the expensive watches, the expensive clothing, the expensive cars. Huh? What is it? There's so many criminals on Facebook and Twitter. Yeah. Which one are you going to choose? So anyway, he finally gets caught. Now he's facing life in prison. Life in prison. I mean, he really did some bad things, right? He's only 25 years old. And he's saying, I think one of the last tweets or Facebook post he put up, where he says, I'm only 25, but I'm living such a good life. I have everything I want, and it's hard to imagine how I'd ever live differently. Then he got caught. Now he can't get bail, right? They won't give him bail. I mean, they put such a high bail, he can't afford it. They're gonna land him in jail for life for what he's done. You know? I say, you see how stupid people are. Now, where did he get all those ideas? I'm the controller. I'm the dominator. I'm going to self-indulge in a gross, unfettered way. No one can stop me. And he's so confident that he's posting all the illicit things he's doing right on his webpage. You know. So this is called illusion. Moha. You know, it's very profound. It's so profound, even though he knows it's illegal, everything he's doing, still, he's so stupid and puffed up. He's posting everything on the internet. Yeah. So, Prabhupada explains the 18th chapter, 73rd verse. He says, the constitutional position of living entity represented by Arjuna is that he has to act according to the order of the Supreme Lord. He is meant for self-discipline, not self-indulgence, right? Do you know what the word indulgence means? Look it up in a dictionary. I-N-D-U-L-G-E-N-C-E. Indulgence means you self-gratify with no limit. What's it mean? Self what?
Self-pity.
I-N-G-U-L-G-E-N-C. Yeah, look up self-indulgence. In other words, you permit yourself to do whatever you want for sense gratification. That's what it means. Did you see it? Self-indulgence. You see it? What's it say?
Excessive or unrestrained gratification of one's own
there it is.
Desires, dreams, appetites.
Right. We're meant for self-discipline. But the example I just gave of this idiot, 25-year-old, he thought we're meant for self-indulgence. You see, that's called moha. That's called illusion. It was never meant, we're never meant for self-indulgence. It was never true at any time. That's what an illusion is. You believe something that is never true. It never was true and never will be true, but you believe it's true. That's called an illusion, right? So the difference between self-discipline and self-indulgence is the key to understanding why this world is screwed up in a very horrible way right now. So, Prabhupada says, living as it is meant for self-discipline. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the actual position of living entity is that of eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. We think we're the Supreme Lord. This guy that I just told, he actually thought he was the Supreme Lord. He could get away with anything because he had so much money and he was spending it. Yeah. Forgetting this principle, the living entity becomes conditioned by material nature. That's exactly what happened to this man. He became conditioned by the three modes of material nature. And he became convinced of something that was never true being true. See, that's how profound Maya is. Forgetting this principle, living entity becomes conditioned by material nature. What's the principle? We're actually meant to serve Krishna. We're not meant to serve ourselves. The living entity's constitutional position is to be a servitor. In serving the Supreme Lord, he becomes the liberated servant of God. If he serves the Supreme Lord, the living entity's constitutional position to be a servitor, he has to serve either the illusory Maya or the Supreme Lord. See, that's the whole point. We can either, if we believe this, the goal of life is self-indulgence, we serve Maya. And we become more and more bound up. If we believe the goal of life is self-discipline in order to make spiritual advancement toward serving Krishna sincerely, then we're liberated. One way we get more entangled, this guy's going to jail for life. He's only 25, right? And by serving Krishna, we become liberated, not only in this life, from the whole cycle of birth and death. If he serves the Supreme Lord, he is in his normal condition. But if he prefers to serve the illusory external energy, then certainly he will be in bondage. See, freedom is our normal position. Just like you follow all the rules of driving, you're free to drive anywhere on the legal roads in the United States. Right? If you choose not to follow the rules, you'll be stopped. And if you continue breaking the rules, you'll be put in jail. And if you continue being recalcitrant, you'll be put in solitary confinement. The more we break the rules, the more our freedoms are taken away from us. And the more we follow the rules of the state as well as the rules of Krishna, the more freedom we get. Up to the point of eternal liberation from the cycle of birth and death. Doesn't it make sense to follow the rules? In illusion, a living entity is serving in this material world. He is bound by his lust and desires. Yet he thinks of himself as the master of the world. This is called illusion. An ant walks straight across a highway thinking, I'm okay. You see? That's illusion. Complete illusion. And he gets run over, of course, by a truck or something. When a person is liberated, his illusion is over, and he voluntarily surrenders unto the Supreme to act according to his desires. His meaning Krishna's desires, not his meaning his desires. There's a difference between his with a capital H and his with a small h. What's the difference, Prabhu?
Krishna
Right. Well, his with a small h means the individual soul. And his with a big h means Krishna. It doesn't mean Barack, Alibaba, or anyone like that. It's only Krishna. Right? He's the supreme controller. The last illusion, the last snare of Maya, the last snare of Maya, snare means a trap, of Maya, to trap the living entity, is the proposition that he is God. Have you ever met anyone who thought he is God?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see them everywhere, even law writers and such, the executive branch of the United States government. It seems like they're definitely going that way, telling people they have no place existing in one place or another. But what should they do? Is it here? Well, they'll make it so.
In fact, if Hitler had won World War II, he would have been deified. He was already deified by his people, but he would have been deified by all the conquered people also. Meaning he becomes God. He's considered God. If he had won the war, World War II, well, while he was winning, he was deified already by his own people, right? They were passionate about him, right? But if he had won the war, his picture would have been plastered everywhere. People would be doing, you know, like this, you know, Heil Hitler. What does Heil Hitler mean? It means Hitler Kijay. This is where we say Kijai, right? All victory, glories to the Lord, right? That's what would have happened. He was already happening, but if he had won, it would have become outrageous. You know, people would have been forced to worship him. He's so unintelligent that he does not think that if he were God, then how could he be in doubt? That he does not consider. So that is the last snare of illusion. Actually, to become free from the illusory energy is to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and agree to act according to his order. That is the most important point right there. Faith, the real sign of faith is we agree to act according to Krishna's order. And how does that order come to us? Through the bona fide spiritual master. Very simple. 1870. The real act, the real sign of faith in God is to act according to his order. That is the ultimate symbol that we have faith in God. Not just talk, oh, I believe in God. That doesn't mean anything. It's when we actually act according to his order that we have faith in God. Yes. We're talking about it every day here. Four don'ts and four do's. They're called yamas and niyamas. The four don'ts: no gambling or philosophical speculation, no meat eating, including fish, eggs, chicken, whatever. No form of intoxication, coffee, tea, anything like that, and no illicit activity outside of marriage. Those are the don'ts. And the four do's: chant minimum 16 good rounds of Hare Krishna every day on your beads. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, just like right now we're reading Bhagavad Gita. Isn't this helpful to read this? It clears up all the doubts that we have, right? And to eat only prasadam, only things that are offered, only food that's been offered first to Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna and given back by Krishna. And then come to the temple and engage in service. What kind of service are there? Nine types: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Sakyam, Dasyam, Atmanivedanam. Hearing about Krishna. So this is one kind of service that we're doing right now. Right? repeating what we've heard about Krishna and chanting the glories of the Lord, the name of the Lord, that's the second type of service. Remembering the Lord throughout the day, third type of service. And Padasevana, serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Archana, worshipping the Lord through Archana Bidhi practice, which is what we teach people how to do here, becoming a pujari, etc. Praying to the Lord, becoming friends with the Lord, Archanam Vandanam Sakyam Dasyam, becoming the servant, the eternal servant of the Lord, and Atma Nivedanam, surrendering everything you have in your life. So, what is the surrendering process? You surrender the hearing process, the seeing process, the eating process, the working process, everything to the service of the Lord. In other words, you offer the results of all your different activities to the Lord. Those are nine types of service. Right? So Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer all your homage and love and concentration to me. If you do this, in other words, give up all other duties in life or dharmas, and surrender unto me. That's the ultimate dharma, Sanatana Dharma, surrendering unto Krishna, not surrender unto Alibaba, Obama, or surrender unto so-and-so or so. No, surrender unto Krishna. And what's the sign of surrender? You follow his instructions. So you know what the instructions are now. Four things you should not do, four things you should do every day. The ultimate instruction is given like this. Prabhupada's books are the basis. Preaching from Prabhupada's books is the essence, basis of spiritual life, the essence of spiritual life. And purity is the force by which your preaching will actually have an effect. So, following these four things you shouldn't do, following these four things you should do, will guarantee your purity. And utility is the principle. So you must be practical, not pie in the sky theoretical. And to become practical, you take instruction from bona fide shiksha and diksha gurus. So you do that. Then you're following Krishna's order correctly. Okay. The word moha is very important in this verse. Moha refers to that which is opposed to knowledge. Actually, real knowledge is the understanding that every living being is eternally a servitor of the Lord. But instead of thinking oneself in that position, the living entity thinks that he is not a servant, that he is the master of this material world. Again, the difference between self-indulgence and self-discipline. The difference between calling everyone Prabhu and acting as Das, or thinking you are Prabhu and everyone should be my Das. It's a difference. So, but instead of thinking oneself in that position as the eternal servant of the Lord, the living entity thinks that he is not a servant, that he is the master of this material world, and he wants to lord it over the material nature. That is his illusion. I want to be the controller. I want to be the owner. I want to be the enjoyer. I'm number one. Everybody else is number two and three and four and five. But me, I'm number one. Okay. This illusion can be overcome by the mercy of the Lord or by the mercy of a pure devotee. When that illusion is over, one agrees to act in Krishna consciousness. So we're saying the real sign of faith is acting and agreeing to act according to the order of Krishna. That's the real sign of faith. Faith is not a declaration, I have faith. Just like in the Christian church, they have the declaration of faith that they say in the Catholic Church and Orthodox Church in every liturgy, every ceremony that they perform on Sunday, they say this declaration of faith. Havadim imi asvads imi astudu. You know, it's a whole prayer, just like we have mantras. This is a mantra that they say. I believe in one God. I believe Jesus is His Son. I believe Jesus was crucified on the cross and resurrected and stayed amongst human beings for 40 days and then ascended to heaven to sit at the right side of God. You know, they repeat this every time. It is a statement of faith, right? But that's not faith. Faith is agreeing to act and actually acting according to the order of the Lord. That's the real faith. Simply making a statement of faith is good, but it doesn't really mean anything unless you act according to the order of the Lord. So Krishna consciousness is acting according to Krishna's order. This is the definition of what Krishna consciousness is. A conditioned soul, illusioned by the external energy of matter, does not know that the Supreme Lord is the master who is full of knowledge and who is the proprietor of everything. That's another thing we have to understand. Krishna owns everything. We don't own anything, including our own body. Therefore, we should learn to use it, our body and everything we see in life, according to Krishna's order, not according to our whim. Whatever he desires, he can bestow upon his devotees. Krishna is all-powerful. If you become a sincere devotee, he'll do everything to help you. He is the friend of everyone, and he is especially inclined to his devotee. He's called Bhaktivatsal, the friend of his devotee, the well-wisher of his devotee. He is the controller of this material nature and of all living entities. He is also the controller of inexhaustible time, and he is full of all opulences and all potencies. So this is a description of who Krishna is. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can even give himself to the devotee. This is confidential knowledge now. Just like he gave himself to Yasodamayi Nanda Maharaj. He gave himself to Vasudeva and Devaki. He gave himself to the gopis, and especially Radharani. He gave himself to Arjuna. He gave himself to the Pandavas. One who does not know him is under the spell of illusion. He does not become a devotee, but a servitor of Maya. Instead of serving Krishna, we end up serving Maya. And Maya is beating us all the time, harder and harder. If we're in trouble, it's because we've been serving Maya. It's when we begin to serve Krishna that we get out of trouble. One who does not know him is under the spell of illusion. He does not become a devotee, but a servitor of Maya. Arjuna, however, after hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, became free from all illusion. Now, what does illusion mean? That which is opposed to knowledge. The knowledge is we're all the eternal servant of Krishna. Illusion is, no, I don't accept God, I don't accept Guru. I just accept myself, and I'm going to serve myself. That's illusion. That was never true. And when you act like that, you become entangled more and more in material nature. Because it was never true. It was never meant to be like that. Arjuna, after hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, became free from all illusion. He could understand that Krishna was not only his friend, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he understood Krishna factually. So to study Bhagavad Gita is to understand Krishna factually. When a person is in full knowledge, he naturally surrenders to Krishna. When Arjuna understood that it was Krishna's plan to reduce the unnecessary increase of population, he agreed to fight according to Krishna's desire. He again took up his weapons, his arrows and bow, to fight under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So whenever the demons increase, Krishna organizes Iraq, Syria, Cambodia, World War I, World War II, Pakistan-India War. He collects all the demons and puts them on the battlefield and they kill each other. See? Because there's too much population of demons. You know, they're all eating chicken and kebabs and engaging in all kinds of nonsensical activities. See? Just like we saw this one Al-Qaeda guy cut the neck of this American, right? The reporter. Now, both of them are guilty according to the laws of material nature. It's not that, oh, the poor reporter is such an innocent guy. He's pure. He wasn't pure. He was drinking. He was smoking. He was eating meat. He was philandering. He was barbecuing. So he's guilty. Just as much as the guy that's killing him is also guilty. They're both guilty. So, Krishna organizes the Iraq-Syria war that's going to take place now. The United States is going to go and bomb. They're already bombing Iraq, and then they're going to bomb Syria. So, one side, ISIS killed a whole bunch of, you know, Christians and Yazidis and Muslims, right? And now the other side is going to come back, you know, and they're going to kill the Sunni rebels and stop their uprising. So the demons are being eliminated. They're eliminating each other. The same thing happened in the Battle of Kurukshetra. There are too many demons, so they all went on Duryodhana's side. They all were killed. So when Arjuna understands that this was the plan of Krishna, so Arjuna switched from his plan to Krishna's plan. His plan was, I'm going to walk away and, you know, become a yogi in the mountains. Forget about all this. Krishna said, you can't do that. That's sinful. Inaction is sinful. When the Lord is ordering you and you remain inactive, that's sinful and you'll suffer for it. So Arjuna finally understood, no. Karmani vadikaraste, ma phale sukhadachana, ma karma phale hetu buhur, ma te sangastu akarmani. You have a right to perform your duty, but you have no right to enjoy the results. Nor should you think yourself the doer of the activity. Nor should you consider yourself the author of the action. Nor should you ever give up performing your duty. So, this is a very nice verse, a second chapter. It means that you can't get away with anything. Either you follow Krishna's order or you get zapped by Maya. There's no middle ground. Second chapter, 47th verse, you have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities and never be attached to not doing your duty. So, in life there are three things. There are prescribed duties, there's capricious work, and there's inaction. So, prescribed duties are enjoined according to how one is influenced by the modes of material nature. So you have brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, sudras. And according to the influence of the modes of material nature, they're given specific duties to perform according to the modes that they're influenced by. And it's the whole idea is to gradually rise up above the influence of the modes by following these prescribed duties. Then there's capricious work, which means sinful activity. It's not sanctioned. Why does it say capricious? Because in the 16th chapter is a very important verse, which says, yashastra vidim utshirja vartate kamakarataha nasasidim avatnapi nasukam na paramgatim. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims. You see, the word used here was capricious work means actions without the sanction of authority. So capricious means whimsical. You act on a caprice, a whim. Today I'm not going to follow the four regulative principles. Today I'm going to break them all. Tomorrow I'll follow them again. That's whimsical activity. Right? So, vartate kamakarata. Kamakarata means acting whimsically because of lust. Acting whimsically because of lust. So a person who acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection, nasa siddhim, avapnoti, nasukam, nor does he attain any happiness, nor param gatim, the supreme destination, going back to Godhead. Prabhupada says the word kamakarata is very significant. A person who knowingly violates the rules acts in lust. He knows that this is forbidden, but still he acts. This is called acting whimsically. He knows that this should be done, but still he does not do it. Therefore he is called whimsical. Such persons are destined to be condemned by the Supreme Lord. Such persons cannot have the perfection which is meant for the human life. The human life is especially meant for purifying one's existence. And one who does not follow the rules and regulations cannot purify himself, nor can he attain the real stage of happiness. So no happiness, no perfection, and no going back to Godhead. 16:23. Okay, so we will stop right here. We were talking about faith. Okay, there's one other thing I want to say about faith. There are three divisions of faith according to the three modes of material nature. So, this is explained in the 17th chapter, verses 4, 5, and 6. So, it says, persons in a mode of goodness worship the devatas, demigods. Those in a mode of passion worship the demons. And those in a mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. In other words, ghosts. So, faith usually comes out, faith is usually developed in the mode of goodness. But when we're conditioned, nothing is pure. Everything is always mixed. So there's no pure goodness in the material world. Therefore, people who seem to be good are actually no good, although that's a hard thing to accept. Unless they surrender to Krishna under the order of the spiritual master, they're actually no good. This is a hard point for most people to understand. They say, how can you say this? These are good people. They go to church or they go to the temple. Yes, they do these things, but their motivation is not pure. And this is explained. Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter, 12th verse, where it says, Yashasti Bhaktir Bhagavat Yakinchana Sarvir Gunais Yashasti Bhaktir Bhagavat Yakinchana. Sarvir gunais tata samasate sura harava bhakta sya kuto mahadguna mano ratinasati dhavato bayi. Very important verse. It says, all the demigods and their exalted qualities such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. It says, all the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva or Krishna. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? This is Prahlad Maharaj spoke this originally. So, now this is hard to understand for most people. They say, wait a minute, I mean, these are moral people, they follow rules, you're saying they're no good? Ah, yeah, because their ultimate purpose is not to please Krishna. It's to please themselves. So, by giving in charity, they get honored. And they get favors. If you look in the Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, 28th verse, this verse is also quoted. One who has unflinching devotion, there's a little bit of a different translation, same meaning, but a little different translation. One who has unflinching devotion for the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods. But one who is not a devotee of the Lord has only material qualifications that are of little value. This is because he or she is hovering on the mental plane and is certain to be attracted by the glaring material energy. 128 in the purport, Bhagavad Gita 1, chapter 1, 28 in the purport. So, sometimes you meet people, they speak very nice, they dress nice, they're clean, they have a nice car, a nice house, nice family, and, you know, they seem really like wonderful people. And they do manifest good qualities. But the dark side is it's all meant for their own personal gain and sense gratification. They're not really devotees. They'll do good things, but there's a limit to their goodness. But you don't see that right away. You only see that over time and according to different situations that arise. Okay, so there are three types of faith, and faith in the mode of goodness, faith in the mode of passion. Actually, faith in passion, faith in ignorance are not really faith. So men in the mode of goodness worship demigods, those in the mode of passion worship the demons, and those in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. So, in World War II, there was one industrialist in Calcutta who put Hitler on his altar. He was doing, Om Jai Jagadish Hare Hitler Ki Jai, Jai Jagadish Hare Hitler Ki Jai. Why? Because he made a fortune supplying some things to Hitler's Nazi Germany. So he was worshiping demons. So there's three types of worship. You worship the demigods, or ultimately, that's the mode of goodness, but above the mode of goodness is transcendental goodness. You worship only Krishna, you don't worship demigods. And then you worship in passion, you worship Hitler, or you worship Alibaba, or somebody, right? And then worship in the mode of ignorance, you worship ghosts. You know, you have these New Age gurus. I am channeling Raichala. Who's Raichala? Raichala is a ghost, and this New Age guru is saying this Raichala is speaking to me and giving me inside information about what's going to happen in the future. And you go on the internet, you'll see a whole bunch of people like that. They're channeling a ghost. And in India, you have people who worship ghosts. And even in America, I mean, everyone involved in the people that dress black and have, you know, black fingernail polish, black lipstick, and and piercings all over the place, and now they have tattoos all over the face, and they disfigure the face to look like a demon. You know, they purposely create bumps on their forehead. You've seen them? Yeah, we see them all the time. A second time. Yeah. Yeah, he purposely disfigured himself to look like a demon. You know. And they have nowadays they have satanic worship. They have churches for worshiping Satan, the devil. Yeah. People are crazy. Okay, so then when a person is situated, Satvam Visuddham Vasudeva Samitam, Sabditam, Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23, when a person is situated in pure goodness, he worships Krishna. So those who are completely purified of material modes of nature and who are transcendentally situated can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Those who undergo severe austerities and penances, not recommended in the scriptures, performing them out of pride and egoism, who are impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish, and who torture the material elements of the body as well as the supersoul dwelling within, are to be known as demons. So, you have people who worship demons, people who worship ghosts, and people who worship demigods. So there's three types of faith. So the faith is manifested by the type of worship you engage in. But those who are transcendentally situated, they worship Krishna. Okay, so we'll stop right there and continue on this subject of faith a little bit more. Actually, I won't be here tomorrow. I won't be here till Monday. So I'm going. Yeah, I'll be here Monday.